Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to read a fairly long passage of scripture today, but we need to read it all to get the whole story. So Matthew 13, let's begin in verse number 1. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. He who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this wonderful parable. Certainly one of the most intriguing of the parables that Jesus shared. And I pray today that you would teach us from it. Fill me with your spirit. Help me, Lord, to say what I ought and nothing more. And I just pray that you would bless this message and use it for your glory. And I pray that all of us would examine the condition of our heart and determine and what our response to your word is going to be. And so help, we pray. Speak to hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was a teenager, and believe it or not, there was such a time. When I was a teenager, I had a friend named Tom. Some of you know him. He recently retired from his ministry as a Methodist pastor. When we were teens, we went to a revival service together one day. And the invitation was given at the end of that revival, and my friend Tom literally shot out of his seat and ran to the front, knelt, and trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. At least that's the way I remember it. He's actively serving the Lord today, even though he's retired from the pastorate. He still loves the Lord, and he's still living as a believer today. I've watched others have experiences that at least outwardly are similar. They hear the gospel, and they at least outwardly respond. They might even serve for a while, but today, they might not even be in church. They might not be serving in any way, shape, or form. And we have to ask ourselves, what's the difference? What's the difference? In my 65 years of life, I've watched a lot of professing Christians grow old. I've seen some become sweeter and sweeter as they aged in Christ and their walk with Him. I've seen others just get crankier and meaner the older they get. The first seem to radiate more of Jesus the longer they serve Him. The latter seem to understand less of Him the longer they live. Sometimes to the point where doesn't even seem to be a relevant part of their life anymore. What's the difference? What's the difference? I have seen professing Christians face tremendous trials and troubles. Some face those trials and troubles by turning to the Lord and crying out to Him. They put their faith in Him, their trust in Him. They emerge from the other side stronger and their faith more secure. Others have the wind knocked right out of them immediately by trials like that. Some cannot accept a God who would allow hardship in their lives. They are immediately disillusioned when any such thing occurs. What's the difference? What's the difference? Well, I think this parable helps to answer some of those questions. At least gives us some thought-provoking things to consider here today. This parable speaks of a sower, of seed, and of soil. Three components. The sower is unnamed. He's simply the one throwing the seed. The seed is the Word of God. We don't have to guess what that one is because Jesus told us what it was. At least in this parable is repeated in both Mark and Luke as well. At least there he did. In Mark chapter 4:14, the sower sows the word. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, the parable is this: the seed is the Word of God. So we don't know the sower. The sower is an unnamed thrower of seed, but the seed is the Word of God. And the soil is the human heart. We see that in verse number 19. And it pictures our response to the Word. I would suggest that's the main point of this parable of our Lord. There are actually four different types of soil that are mentioned here. The sower is constant in each case. The seed is constant in each case. It's the quality of the soil, the makeup of the soil that varies in each of those four things and determines the outcome. Same sower, same seed, different outcome depending upon the soil. And as we'll see as we progress through the parable, everything depends on our response to the Word of God. Everything. So let's consider those four types of soil, four types of heart, four types of responses to the Word that Jesus described here. And as we do, we need to ask ourselves, what is the condition of my heart? What is the condition of my heart? First of all, look at verse number 4, and Jesus spoke about the hard heart. The hard heart, verse number 4, as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. And when he explained this parable further on, in verse number 19, he said, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. The hard heart. I say the hard heart because the wayside was the hard packed earth, the little path that the person sowing the seed would have walked along as he was flinging seed. Probably the broadcast method as he was flinging seed. And he would have continuously walked on this same path and it got hard and beat down and packed. As much seed would have landed on that ground as on other ground, but it didn't grow there because the ground was just too hard and packed for the seed to germinate. Jesus said here, this illustrates the closed heart, the closed mind. The hard heart. Our good friend to the north, Alistair Begg, he likes to say that in this case, the seed gets on, but doesn't get in. It gets on, but it doesn't get in. This person hears the message. We see that in verse number 19. He heard the message. There's no result because the heart is hard and the mind is closed. There are examples of this in the Bible. The Pharisees would be perhaps the premier example in the New Testament of this type of a heart. The hard heart. And I think sometimes we just need to break up some soil. I think sometimes as believers, we dare not let our hearts become so hard that they no longer respond to the Word of God. Sometimes we need to break up some soil. If we sense that in our lives, we need to be doing some examining and break up some soil. As witnesses for Christ, as soul winners, we often come across hard hearts which need to be broken up before they can respond to the Word of God. This soil might have produced fruit if the person throwing a seed had attacked the soil a little bit first and broken it up. And the interesting thing is you don't break up soil, hard soil, with warm and fuzzy objects, do you? You got to use, things like hard steel. You got to use picks and mattocks and shovels and axes and plows. You beat on it until you break it up. Sometimes that's the only way to reach a hard heart. I once participated in a hospital visit, and I'm sure I've shared this story before, but I once participated in a hospital visit with a good friend of mine, preacher friend, and we were visiting a person who had this kind of a heart. He was a person who was lost, and proudly so. and let everybody know he didn't believe, wanted nothing to do with Christianity. But his, some family member, I can't remember who now, was a member of my friend's church, and so asked him to go. And he had spoken to this guy before, and the guy had always, you know, laughed him off and shoved him out the door and wanted nothing to do with it. But here he was. This was serious. He was dying. He was in the hospital, and this was maybe the last chance he was going to get. And I was young in the ministry at the time, and kind of dewy-eyed, and I was kind of shocked at what my friend did, because my friend walked up to the bedside and he said, he talked to him for a minute about his condition, and then he said, "Can I just share the gospel with you? I know we've talked about this before. Can I just share the gospel with you just one more time?" And the guy said, "Well, if you want to waste your time, go ahead." And my friend looked at him and said, "I don't." And he turned and walked out of the room and left me standing there. And I was stunned by that, because I was young. But I heard later that that hard treatment did more to get that guy to stop and think for a minute than anything else that had ever been said. I don't know if he ever trusted Christ, but I know that my friend took a hoe to him right there and was trying. You know, I get tired of those who say we should never use a guilt trip to try to get somebody to trust Christ. I get tired of that stuff. Or to scare people into heaven. What Bible are people reading? I'm not quite sure what they're reading. Jesus did not hesitate to use either of those techniques to break up hard ground and hard soil and trying to break up hard hearts. It's Satan who wants to limit our methods to things that won't work. That's the one who would tell us, "Oh, don't hurt, don't break them up." That's of the devil. Jesus preached hell to the Pharisees. Jesus preached about hell far more than he did about heaven. He had no trouble swinging that axe. Jesus pointed out the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, because they were hard-hearted. They had closed minds. They were the ones in whom the word did not get in. And so Jesus kept trying to break up that ground. Jesus' brother Jude, in the next to the last book in the Bible, wrote, "Of some have compassion, making a difference, and others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire." That's a pretty powerful verse. The hard heart does not respond to the Word of God at all. It is closed. It is packed down. It is resistant. So I ask you this morning, what's the condition of your heart? What's the condition of your heart? The second one he talked about, we see in verse number 5. This we would call the emotional heart. "Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away." He explained this part in verses 20 and 21. "He who received the seed in stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles." The geography in Israel is unbelievably rocky. And by the way, that the very fact that I mentioned Israel makes me think we need to pray for Israel. I hope you guys are paying attention to that, and we really need to pray for them. And we need to pray for peace and all that. But we also need to pray that their hearts would turn to their Messiah. And maybe this would wake them up. But pray for Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, we're told to do. So let us do that. But the geography in Israel is it's a very rocky place. During one of our visits to Israel, one of the guides told a fable, just a cutesy little story that apparently they share amongst themselves. And the fable was that when God was creating the world, he was walking around with a bag full of rocks, and he was placing rocks here and there and here and there. When he got over Israel, the bag broke, and all the rocks fell out in Israel. I mean, it is incredibly rocky. There's actually a law in Jerusalem, I believe, that all houses have to be made out of stone, because there's just so much that it needs to be used. And in such a land, it would be easy to see how a farmer might sow seed, and that seed would land on soil that was just a thin veneer over rock, with just a little bit of soil on it, because that's the way the land is. That soil might be warm, it might be moist, it might allow for quick springing up of growth. But because the roots have nowhere to go, the plant can't survive. This, I would suggest, is the emotional heart. This is the one that Alistair Begg would say is the heart where the seed gets on and gets in but doesn't get down. This person hears the word just like everybody else. This person receives the same seed as everybody else. And this person at first joyfully seems to show an interest in it. But when the slightest issue arises, the counterfeit nature of their Christian experience becomes known. Here's how one other pastor explained this heart. He said, "This represents those who positively, joyfully respond to our Lord's teaching, but only due to an inadequate grasp of its implications. These folks respond positively to the word because they think it is a kind of prosperity gospel, a gospel which promises only good times, blessings, happiness, and bliss. The quickness of the response is an indication of their lack of depth or their lack of perception as to what the gospel really means. And let me quickly add, this is not due to our Lord's misrepresentation of the gospel. It's the result of selective hearing, of hearing only the good and pleasant things, rather than hearing of the costs involved in discipleship of which our Lord often spoke." I mean, we could look around this room this morning and we could see seats that were once occupied with emotional hearts. People who joyously responded to the gospel. Outwardly received it, seemed in every way to be genuine believers. But they're not in those seats today. Their seats are empty now. Where are they? Oftentimes I think their belief was counterfeit. The seed got in, it didn't get down. Their belief was superficial, thin-skinned, shallow, emotional. I'm always leery of those who are wildly emotional in their Christianity. I mean, I confess that I'm not an emotional person. But sometimes folks are just wildly emotional. And sometimes it's genuine. I know sometimes it's genuine. And it's wonderful when that is the case. Sometimes it is just an outward show, though, and quickly disappears when something comes up with their life. It's hard. Something that takes genuine faith, rooted faith, deep faith. So how about you? Is your belief only strong when things are going well? Does the slightest temptation or hurt or bump in the road throw you off? Are you one that if Christianity brings happiness, you're all on board? But if it brings pain, suffering, trials, you jump ship? When the blazing sunlight of this world's problems beats down upon the tender sapling that is your Christian faith, do you shrivel up? Timothy Keller was the pastor of Redeemer Presbyterian Church in New York until God called him home just this past year, I believe. Keller pointed out a common behavior seen in the emotional heart, and he said many Christians are very much a part of their local church. They have found a church that they love, and they jump in with both feet, but then they move away for some reason, and they never find the same kind of people, the same excellent preacher, the same great music, and so they fall away. Where once they were so much apart, now they're not even attending. Why? Well, Keller went on to say it's because the relationship with Christ was not really personal with them. They had never really gotten it, and the seed had gotten in, but it had not gotten down. Larry McMurtry was a novelist. He wrote a lot about the American West, and actually we would know him best for his, I suppose, best-selling book, which was called Lonesome Dove. Another of his lesser-known books was one that he wrote about roads. The many roads he had driven on and the hundreds of miles he had explored across America. That was the whole purpose of the book. And in the book, at the very end, returning to the place of his childhood in East Texas, he said that he was recalling that his father had seldom gone much farther than the dusty roads near his dirt farm. Comparing his own travels to his father's localized life, McMurtry admitted this. He said, "I have looked at many places quickly. My father looked at one place deeply." And that depth is what is missing from the emotional heart. This person gets a glimpse of what Christ offers, immediately thinks it looks great, jumps in with both feet, but it never gets to the heart. And their eventual falling away only demonstrates that truth. What's the condition of your heart? Number three, verse number 7, he talked about the choked heart. Verse 7, some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. He explained that in verse 22. He who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Anybody with a garden understands the imagery here. Either get rid of the weeds, or the weeds will choke out the garden. It's pretty clear to all of us who've ever experimented with that sort of thing. The weeds that choke the seed in this parable are the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Now, if you go to the other Gospels, like Mark's Gospel, he adds another thing. He adds the lust of other things. So the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things. In this case, our buddy Alistair would say the seed got on, got in, got down, but didn't get up. Like the emotional heart, the choked heart initially looks like it's doing well. It looks good, but it conks out before bearing any fruit. It's choked. It's choked by the cares of this world. How many don't come to Christ because they're too busy with the million little things that make up this world's existence? One man said a score of interests, legitimate in their place, are allowed to dominate one's life, with religion just another department of the already highly departmental life. Choked by the cares of this world. Choked by the deceitfulness of riches. Jesus said, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? Mark 10:24. He didn't say it was impossible, he just said it was hard. Money is not wrong in and of itself, but the love of money, trusting in money, that's a problem. James talked about that as well. Oh, how deceitful riches are. They make you think you're okay. At least I'm told that. I wouldn't really know. They make you think you're okay when you're not. Jesus said here, they choke out the truth. They keep you from seeing your need for Christ. And in the end, they avail little of eternal worth. One man remarked to another as they watched a burial procession go by, I wonder how much he left behind. And of course the other one said, well, all of it. All of it. Jesus, in another parable, talked about a rich fool who spent his whole life accumulating and hoarding wealth, only to hear this at his life's end. God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? Choked by the cares of this world, choked by the deceitfulness of riches, choked by the lust of other things. Mark added, and that phrase could just be translated the pleasures of this life. Enjoyments, innocent in themselves, in which the world enables one to indulge, smothers out the seed. So much time is taken up for pleasure that only the dregs remain for spiritual things, is how one man put it. So many of the pleasures of this world, they're good, they're wonderful, until they choke out the Word of God. Then they become idols and horrors. And I'll tell you, this is one of the sadder aspects of ministry for me, and probably for anybody else who's ever been in ministry. So many people who need the Savior, maybe even know the Savior, know they need the Savior, are just choked out by the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things. This is a common one, the choked heart. What is the condition of your heart? Well, then there's the fourth one, verse number 8. This is the understanding heart. Others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And again, Jesus' explanation, verse 23, he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Now, there are varying opinions. People who interpret this parable, there are varying opinions amongst them as to which of the four heart types or soil types was Jesus referring to as saved people. Which of these are really describing saved people? I believe the only one that represents a saved person is this one. There are people who disagree with that and would say that the previous two could also be. But even if the emotional heart and the choked heart are interpreted as saved people, they're certainly not the kind of a thing that we would want to say is desirable. Now, only this fourth category, the good soil, the understanding heart, describes the desired state. Christ wants us to trust Him. To only trust Him, and to trust Him deeply in spite of whatever comes our way. To put Him first and not be choked by the things of this world, to be fruitful and productive and growing as believers. That's the desired state, and that's this fourth category. The understanding heart. This person hears the word, he said. And you'll notice, so did the others. So did the first one, but his heart was hard and closed to it. So did the second, but after an initial emotional response, he turned away from it, and so did the third. But his hearing was choked out by this life. This person understands the word. That word means that he puts it together. He comprehends what it means. And this person bears fruit. I think that's key. None of the others bore fruit, not even for a moment. The Bible teaches that all Christians bear fruit. If you're a Christian, you will bear fruit. If you don't bear fruit, it's because you're not a Christian. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and in him bears much fruit. No exceptions. Not all are fruitful to the same degree and in the same way. Different levels of fruitfulness will be seen, but all of us bear fruit. In this case, Begg would say that the seed got on, got in, got down, got up, and it gets out. And that's the picture of the true believer. That's the good soil, the understanding heart. So friend, let me ask you today, what is the condition of your heart? You see, everything depends on your response to the Word of God. Jesus punctuated the importance of these things in this parable with these words. He said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear, in verse number 9. In other words, this is important. Listen up. If I was paraphrasing the Bible, that's how I would paraphrase that verse. Listen up. What is the condition of your heart? Are you hard-hearted, closed-minded, unwilling to let the Word of God in? Are you the wayside hearer? Are you the hard heart? Are you easily disillusioned when things don't go right, when it's not all roses and sunshine? And you don't have to be saved very long to realize it's not always going to be roses and sunshine. When troubles come your way, are you the stony heart, the emotional heart? And are you like so many pulled in every direction by a multitude of distractions? Do you have no time for God because other things in this life take all of your time? Do the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches or the lust of other things choke out the word? Oh, church, we need to hear the parable today of the sower. Everything depends on our response to the Word of God. And if we would finish strong for Christ, we need an understanding heart. You need an understanding heart. You need to hear the Word of God, understand it, let it go deep into the soil of your heart and bear fruit. And may God help us to respond to His Word with just such a heart. As we sing our final song this morning, think about that. What is the condition of your heart?